Books of Elsewhere, Chapter 18, page 182. Evening had ended. It was night, dark, and absolute. No light came in through the basement's high, small window, but the faint white sheen of the moon. Like all cats, Harvey and Horatio could naturally see in the dark, bounded down the stairs ahead of Olive. She trailed behind more slowly, keeping one hand on the wall and trying to ignore the feeling of dread that trembled in the pit of her stomach. The basement was as chilly and damp as usual. Olive's still wet clothes clung to her clammily. She wished she were in a warm bathtub or wrapped up in a blanket in front of a fire. In fact, she wished she were anywhere but a damp, dark basement with a trio of talking cats and a dangerous painted witch. Horatio and Harvey moved soundlessly around the corners past the stairs. Olive tiptoed behind them as softly as she could and almost stepped on Horatio's tail when both cats froze. The flickering light of a candle broke the shadows in the corner. Olive saw Leopold's stalwart black bulk sitting at attention on the trap door. In front of him stood Annabelle. Somehow Annabelle looked different already. Her carefully brushed hair had come out of its combs and hung in limp tangles around her back. Her face, or what Olive could see of it, looked sharper edged and cruel, not at all like the soft pink collection from the portrait. "Get out of the way, Leopold," Olive heard Annabelle snap. "I'm afraid that's impossible, ma'am," answered Leopold, over a chest puffed out so grandiosely that it nearly eclipsed his chin. "Very well," said Annabelle. "You'll move when I open the door." Annabelle bent down to grasp the trap door's iron loop. "A soldier doesn't like to hurt a lady, madam, but..." Leopold gave Annabelle a sharp swipe across the cheek. Annabelle jerked back for a split second, looking annoyed. Then she bent down toward the trapdoor again. "Don't make me give you another," warned Leopold. But Annabelle brushed the cat off the trapdoor with one powerful side swipe. Leopold toppled backward, thrown against the stone wall. Annabelle lifted the door, reached down into the dusty darkness. From inside, she hoisted out a small gold container that looked to Olive like something between a trophy and a lamp. It was covered with etched scrolls, curlicues, just like the patterns on the necklace around Olive's neck. Maybe she was imagining it, but Olive thought for a second that she could feel the metal of the necklace growing warm against her skin. Annabelle turned, holding the urn in both hands, spotted Horatio, Harvey, and Olive. "Well, well, the gang's all here," said Annabelle, and Olive couldn't hear a trace of the sweet, polite voice of Annabelle who had served her tea. Harvey cleared his throat and he puffed out his chest beneath his tin breastplate. "Lady, you should attempt to make away with those ashes. You shall face the righteous wrath of the guardians of this house," he proclaimed. "Harvey, you deluded little mongrel," growled Annabelle. "I'd like to see what three cats and a dim-witted little girl could do to stop me." Annabelle's eyes flicked over to Olive. "I see that you escaped from the lake," she said. "You must be feeling awfully proud of yourself, but it will only make things worse for you later." Candlelight flickered against the lifeless veneer of Annabelle's gold brown eyes. "Then I promise you, you'll wish you had drowned." Annabelle lifted one hand from the urn and made a sign in the darkness. The pendant grew hot, burning Olive's skin. Olive tried to grab the chain to lift the necklace away from her body, but found that she couldn't move a muscle. The pendant lay like a lump of burning coal against her chest. With a twisted smile, Annabelle made a circular motion in the air. Olive spun in place. "There we are," said Annabelle. She glanced down at the cats. "If you wouldn't care for the same treatment," she warned, "I would suggest that you three make yourselves scarce." Then, with a whisk of her long, filmy skirts, Annabelle set off for the stairs. Olive trailed behind her involuntarily like a deflating balloon on a string. Apparently, this was the last straw. "Charge!" bellowed a voice from the darkness. Olive saw a black blur fly through the air and plant itself firmly on Annabelle's shoulders. Another reddish blur tangled itself around her ankles. "En garde!" yelled Harvey before taking a flying leap and attaching himself to Annabelle's head like a furious Russian hat. Annabelle gave a rather muffled shriek since half of Harvey was covering her face. She batted and kicked at the cats, who clung as stubbornly as burrs, reattaching their teeth and claws after each swipe. Still, despite the fur of her attackers, Annabelle trudged up the basement stairs with the urn clutched in her hand. The whole hissing, howling group of them made it through the kitchen and into the hallway. Olive was dragged along behind them with the necklace singeing a hole in her shirt. Her skin beneath it was blistered and sore. If the necklace had once been a magnet that pulled itself toward Olive, now it was a magnet that pulled Olive toward the urn in Annabelle's hands. Annabelle made her way slowly up the stairs to the upper hallway, batting irritably at the cats. Horatio snaked between her ankles, trying to trip her. Leopold slashed wildly at the urn, attempting to knock it out of Annabelle's iron grip. Harvey was still wrapped around her head. "Ye have met your match in King Arthur's knight sorceress," he cried. "The righteous shall prevail against evil." "Sad little lunatic," Annabelle muttered. Then she raised one hand and she snapped her fingers. The sound shot through the house like a whip crack. It was followed by another sound, the creaking of a distant door. "Baltus," called Annabelle. Out of the shadows of the attic thundered the gigantic dog. His paws beat the hallway carpet like sledgehammers. His long yellow teeth were bared. He looked so different from the cheerful tail-wagging mutt she had rescued from the painting that Olive almost didn't recognize him. The three cats turned into hissing, bristled arches. The dog jumped, hallway light glinting on his wet teeth. But before Baltus's fangs could close around Horatio, who was still grappling with Annabelle's ankle, all three cats released their grip and zipped away down the staircase. The huge dog thundered after them. The sound of claws scrambling across polished hardwood faded into the distance. Olive held her breath, listening for the hissing, the growling, or the shouting, anything that would tell her that the cats were still safe. But the house had gone silent. She ached to run down the stairs and throw herself into the battle, but her legs wouldn't move. She couldn't even turn her head. The necklace hung, smoldering against her chest, and Annabelle stood beside her, a smile that didn't reach her eyes, twisting her mouth into a cruel, painted look. Annabelle put on the spectacles. "We're going to visit your little friend," she said. Then she clamped her hand around Olive's wrist, and together they climbed into the painting of the dark forest.